Dr. Denny, we really look forward to welcoming you here at the Buffalo Bill Center of the West in Cody. We're looking ahead to next spring, 2021, March or April, for a Saturday U event on campus. And I understand that you're going to give a talk on the visual culture of women's suffrage. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. We'll be looking at Wyoming and beyond. So looking at the different places that were the first in the world to give women suffrage, but it will be focusing, since I'm an art historian, on the visual material of those movements in those various places. It's what is women's visibility? So this is part of what the talk is about, is looking at women's visibility, looking at Wyoming's visibility as the first place to give women the vote, and not just white women, but Black women too. People seem to often forget that because everything changes with the federal amendment, of course, unfortunately. But so we get that sense of visibility, but what we also, as you know, you're sitting there with this lovely image behind you of antelope in the Wyoming landscape, right? We talk about this pioneer spirit, right? And it's not just in Wyoming. One of the most fascinating things about doing this work are the ways that suffrage is happening first at all of these outpost places, right? They're not like centrally on the map, right? I mean, we know, we live in the Wyoming landscape, right? It's very remote. But that's a feature of this, is we are not looking at entrenched governments. We're looking at brand new governments. And they're like, well, here we are, right? Let's do things right, right? Wyoming really was the example everywhere else I worked. So I first started working on Millicent Garrett Fawcett, who was the head of the constitutional group in England, the National Union of Women's Suffrage Society. She ran that group. But in all of her rhetoric, she refers to Wyoming, because England did not get the vote for women until 1918, only for women 30 and over who were propertied, and not until 1928 for women 18 and over. So they were looking to Wyoming as the example, and it literally is the example to the world. So the arguments that are made in Wyoming start to be made in New Zealand. They start to be made in South Australia. Piece mm-hmm. of this, right? When we talk about the movement forward for women in terms of their rights throughout the 19th century, we talk about education, access to education, access to the professions, and the vote.
What a watershed moment it was, right? You know, fighting for suffrage. And yet there was still so much work to do, so many roadblocks laid in the paths of women the world over. And what I really appreciate, Colleen, about your work is that you use the archive of visual culture to bolster your argument.
And fortunately for us, they were much more organized in England than anywhere else. They had a suffrage atelier and an artist suffrage league that were made up of mostly women artists who did beautiful banners. Mm-hmm. And those are perhaps the most compelling pieces. Huge banners, right? And they were sewn and embroidered by the different suffrage groups around England, brought in by those groups, and they marched with them banner. But many of the banners also honor women in history. And one of the most important for them is Joan of Arc. So in a previous book I've written on the visual culture of women's activism, I focus on the propaganda art of the Edwardian movement. And I devote a whole chapter to Joan of Arc. She was incredibly important for the mission. That translates in the marches when we see there are banners dedicated to Joan of Arc. There are quotes from her. And one of the most important ones on a banner, it goes, "Fight on and God will give the victory." It's what Joan of Arc says when she goes into battle for her king in France. So, and she's in America too. She translates. What's interesting about that is that Alice Paul, who's famous in America, right, is forming the National Woman's Party and starting the march for a federal amendment rather than the state by state fight for suffrage. She actually worked with the British women to the States. So Joan of Arc leads her first parade in Washington, D.C., right? So yeah. They're all connected. And
absolutely.
And when we're talking about space, that's what's so interesting. Is what happens with suffrage is it's not just the vote. It is a right to hold public office, right? And in Wyoming, those two things happened in 1869. In South Australia, those two things happened together. In New Zealand, it took a little bit longer. And this is a thing that you and I have talked about too, is this idea of visibility versus exactly. invisibility.
Yes. Right? Yeah. And I want to dig into that a little bit, because it's so wonderful that in Laramie and elsewhere in Wyoming, we have public celebrations of this history. But right now, the nation and the world are engaging in a debate around public monuments and their troublesome nature in some cases.
Right.
And I know that that's something you look at too across time, is the reception of these images, not only their intent as created by the artists and the women who wielded them, but also their broader reception in the public sphere.
I'm thinking now on the election results night, how many images came up of Madam Vice President Harris in terms of her important representation for yes. young women of color.
One that struck me the most is Kamala Harris walking against a wall, and the shadow that is cast, I'm sure you saw this one, mm-hmm. is of a young Black girl. And it'll be interesting to see how artists and activists right now are responding to this moment. But what you've done, Colleen, is given us the tools and a set of glasses to wear as we're investigating these images, calling us all to consider, what are those messages and meanings? What is the intent? How will this be received? What is possibly its, you know, long-term impact? And I really appreciate you equipping us with those tools.
Thank you. The work's been really exciting and stimulating. And mm-hmm. like I said, I mean, the connections we make when we go from place to place are really important. And one of the other things I like to think about in this regard is not just space in terms of women having access to a public space, but just the geographies of these different places.
Yeah. Dr. Denny, thank you so much for your time. I'm so excited to welcome you here to campus next spring and to continue our conversations and to be in the audience as you present your really exciting topic during Saturday U.
Thank you so much, Karen. This has been delightful.